This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All righty, moving along today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. After Jeremy and Joe talked a lot about, I think, what we have to keep talking about today, which is this James Cook story and where everything is heading here, where it is now. Not really sure. I mean, this is kind of new territory for us, right? I thought about this today. Like I've said for a long time, and now we've lived in this age of social media for quite a few years where, and you know me, I've said this many times, and it is very true what I believe, that we need to, and I try to, and I think in general, not take social media behavior as, you know, something really super serious and try to read into it too much. But when you actually have a statement put out, like Myles Garrett, I want to be traded, obviously that's a statement, or like James Cook put out the other day, 15 mil and pinned it, I think it's pretty clear. But other actions on social media, I think we tend to read a little too much into things sometimes. You could be laying around one night, throw on Instagram or X, and an athlete tweets something like, I thought you loved me, right? Let's just say that. I thought you loved me. And all of a sudden, oh my God, he's talking about the organization. Well, how do you know? It could be about like somebody in their family or their friend long time ago. I don't know. It could be a song lyric, right? We got to be careful about doing this stuff. But I do think it's notable and we have to bring it up because this is how athletes communicate these days, especially younger athletes. I mean, James Cook is, I think he's 25. I want to get his exact age here. He's 25. Yep. Turned 25 in September. You know, he's part of this, you know, generation now, and I think we're even years even older than him are, of how this is really their main form of communication in a lot of ways. And it's totally understandable. It's taken adjusting for people like me, which is fine, but I cover him and cover the team and the league and sports in general and all that, and you have to pay attention to this stuff. And I think on the heels of what he put out on his Instagram live story, and then what he did today, which I'm going to get to Josh in a second, he can, or overnight maybe it was, catch us up on this. I think we have to have at least our antennas up, right? But I also think that a lot of this can be just kind of what happens. And we did have one instance like this, I think a couple years ago when this was with Stephon Diggs, but I'll get into that in a second. Generally, it hasn't been with Bills players or, you know, athletes here in Buffalo. Of course, not Sabres necessarily, but we just haven't had it with Bills players. And what I mean is scrubbing of photos, right? Deleting references. What exactly happened here? So, Josh, so this is what James Cook did, right? Fill me in again. I have to rely on you for stuff like this because I don't pay as much attention to that stuff. Maybe I should more sometimes. I just think you can really go down rabbit holes, so I don't as much, and then it catches my attention when I'm told about it. So what exactly happened?
Oh, yeah, you can definitely get down a rabbit hole, and I might have done that here. But last night, someone tweeted out, if you think James Cook ain't worth $15 million, you must have had your head dropped through a you get the picture. Then James Cook retweets that and says, with – four 100 emojis, which basically means this is great. This is right.
Now, so by the way, and there's no reading into that. He is basically just commenting and saying, you're right about this.
Exactly. Like
that, there's definitely no reading in. So last night, that's right. That's the X behavior. That's the Twitter behavior, which is, hey, he's agreeing and saying 100% I'm worth $15 million. No doubt about that.
Exactly.
Clear as day.
The next thing, though, that happened last night as well, or it looks like it happened last night, he unfollowed the Bills on Instagram and deleted all of his pictures with the Bills and changed his profile picture on Instagram, which used to be him in a Bills uniform. Again, reading way too far into it, but it does make a difference a little bit. It does, you know,
open your eyes a little. On the heels of everything, you of course have to pay attention, right? I would also say this. We have had lots of stories of athletes doing this over the years, right? Of unfollowing, scrubbing, whatever. Sometimes it comes out, and I think this happened with Stephon Diggs. I'm not positive, but this was a thing with Stephon Diggs a couple of years ago, wasn't it? In Buffalo, where like all of a sudden he deleted all these, you know, Bills photos, and then someone pointed out, actually, he kind of does this every year where he resets like all his photos and he's into fashion. Like, you just don't know why. But I do think we have to pay attention to it. What does it mean? I'm not sure. I will also tell you, I think it's just sometimes what some people do, just kind of to show like, doesn't mean he doesn't want to be a Bill. See, this is the danger part of the road that I don't want to go down. And I'm not suggesting, as some of you are out there like, I didn't think he meant that anyway. But there are definitely people listening right now. There are definitely people paying attention to this social media behavior who are like, oh my God, that means he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. He hates the organization. Him and Brandon Bean had a falling out. They've been discussing a contract and there's no way. And he's been told. Look, all those things are certainly possible, you know, in some realm. I would tell you that slow down, take a breath. These things take time. And a lot of times it's just kind of like what you do now, what some of the athletes do now, some of the players do now, people in these situations. Who did it a few years ago? Didn't Kyler Murray do this? This was like first ones I remember a couple years ago, right?
That one happened like right around all the stuff where it's like, oh, he's playing too much Call of Duty and all that was going on. Like that was a big one that happened, but nothing came of it. So like that's the thing. It's like these things happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. I would tell you this. This is what I think. Let's say what we know. What we know is James Cook's contract has one more year remaining. That's the other thing we have to keep reminding people. He is under contract next year. The Bills do not have to give him a contract extension, do anything with his contract, and they still own his rights for a year. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't get ugly if they don't do anything with it. I'm just here to tell you that what we know is he has 1 year left on a deal that's paying him over $5 million next year, the last year of his rookie deal. What we also know is his brother, Dalvin Cook, tweeted out he thinks his brother's worth $20 million. And then James pinned his own comment, $15 million is what he wrote. And then on the heels of last night, when he goes 100, 100, 100, saying, yep, I agree, I'm worth $15 million. We know that he wants to be paid in whatever shape or form, how much, that kind of money, right? Like whatever we're looking at, however it massages, we know he wants to get paid. What we don't know is what's happening behind the scenes. What we don't know is what his plans are if things don't go the way he wants. What is the way he wants to go, though? Does he need to get something done now? Does he want to? Is that what his representatives are saying? What are the Bills' thoughts on this? There's a lot of things that have to be sorted out. What we also know is there's like 8 months before the season starts, right? There's a month before free agency, which actually is exactly a month. It's a month from yesterday. Free agency starts March 12th, actually. We are within a month from free agency. We have a draft coming up a month and a half after that, end of April. You have, in that time period, you'll have volunteer, you know, workouts where guys show up and do workouts. Then you're going to have OTAs and minicamp. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of little, you know, markings along the way here before we get to anything really substantial where this comes to a head. It could come before that. It doesn't ever have to come out. It doesn't have to come to that. It's something that keeps us going right now in the offseason. We're going to keep talking about this story until either there's some sort of resolution or maybe, we'll even get to the NFL scouting combine in 11 days, Brandon Bean speaks in 12 days, the 25th. Brandon Bean's going to speak on Tuesday, the 25th, in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. That could be the day where we hear from Brandon Bean, and he kind of, it could go one of two ways. He's going to be asked about this, and there could be one of two reactions, I think, which is, you know, extreme of, yeah, I mean, we have no plans on extending him. I don't think he would say that, but I guess there could be things he could say which makes you go, oh, this is going to get ugly, whatever that could be. Or he could say things that make you go, okay, they're going to work this out, whatever it is. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, he's going to be complimentary, James. He's going to say what he always does, which is we never negotiate contracts through the media. We love James Cook. We'd love to have him here long term. You know, we'll see how things work out. We'll talk with his representatives, just like I will with other guys who contracts are coming up. Those kinds of things will be said, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form by Brandon Bean. But we're going to keep talking about this, and that's going to be, like, that's the next benchmark. So if you're kind of keeping a James Cook off-season calendar, what's happening here, and looking for times where things will get talked about, resolved, and dissected, the next thing, really, other than his own behavior, him going on any sort of live podcast, broadcast, Instagram story, whatever it is, or him tweeting out something, other than any of that doing himself, the next thing is going to be Brandon Bean speaking at the Combine, and Sean McDermott, by the way. McDermott's going to speak on Monday the 24th in the late afternoon. Brandon Bean on Tuesday the 25th in the early afternoon. So we'll hear from both of them and what they think. So there's a lot to be resolved here. I am curious what you think about where this is going, though, because this is the first time it's happened contractually. Now, when it was with Stephon Diggs, it wasn't a contract thing, right? I mean, yes, there were some contractual things going on with Stephon Diggs, and they've adjusted his contract. But a couple years ago, when all the stuff started happening after he had been with the Bills for a couple of years, and, you know, Stephon was in Buffalo for, what, 4 years, 20 through 23, and really after year two, I'd say, maybe after year three, I guess, was where it really came to a head, and then he went into year four and played that out. But after year two, stuff started coming out, and it was, okay, does Stephon want to be in Buffalo? Does Buffalo want Stephon Diggs? That's when stuff started to percolate a little bit. That was really more about, I think, personality, what his relationship, Josh Allen, the organization. It wasn't really contractual. That never got to that point. I mean, again, some things with his contract, but it was never anything like that with him. This is contractual. It's kind of the opposite, because I don't think anyone doubts. I know I don't, and I talk to James Cook, like, in the locker room and at practices, after practices, whatever, after the season. James Cook loves being in Buffalo. That's everything that he's given off, everything he said. I don't have any reason to doubt him. He loves being in Buffalo. He wants to be in Buffalo. He loves being a part of the organization. And for the Bills part, they love James Cook. We know that. They want him to be here. They love him here. Love him as part of the organization. The Stephon Diggs stuff a couple of years ago, that was the question, right? The question was that stuff. Does he want to be a part of us? Do we want him a part of us? Is it better for us to be together than apart, or apart than together, right? That's not the question with James Cook. With Stephon, it was not how much are we paying him. There were some tweaks along the way that never got to there. This is simply contractual, and that's why it's different here, because we haven't had anything like this in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's time. They've done a really great job. Brandon Bean, we can go through his draft picks, and you can tell me about his misses, and I can tell you about the other ones that were hits, and we can do all that. One thing that he has done a great job of is never allowing this to happen. Now, part of the reason is because I think fairly you could say he's overpaid for a few guys. And maybe that's why. He overpays to make sure you don't get into an ugly situation where you have to basically say it's one extreme or the other. So he overpays a little bit. Take care of them a little bit early. Get ahead of it. But the reward there is sometimes you overpay at the moment, and then you have somebody for a little bit, you know, better of a price a little bit later, which could happen, right? But he never allows that to happen. And he hasn't, I should say, allowed that to happen. Now it is. And this is going back now. Sports fans in general, I think, are like this anyway. I think we're living in a different era now where there's a much, much, much more support for the athlete to get paid. When I was growing up, I mean, it was not like that. There were, you would not find many fans who would side with the athlete when it came to getting paid. It was all about basically shut up, do your job. You're playing a game. You're getting paid $1 million a year, like literally $1 million a year. Think about that for a second, Josh. When Jim Kelly came to Buffalo in 1986, okay, he had played in the USFL for 3 years or 2 years, whatever, 83. When he comes to Buffalo, he's the highest paid player in the league at just over $1 million a year.
Isn't it crazy how much that changes? Like, it's so, the contrast between the best players in the league, in any league, then and now.
Yeah.
It's pennies on the dollar. Like, it's crazy to think that it used to be like that.
Right. So even then, when it's just over $1 million, because perspective, obviously, you know, different time period. If there was ever an athlete that was, this was Joe Cribbs, I think, for me in the 80s. Joe Cribbs, a great running back. And there's a contractual dispute between the Bills and Joe Cribbs. Ultimately, he wound up going to the USFL. He went to the Birmingham Stallions. Like, that happened. There was a contractual dispute between the Sabres and Michael Pekka. That was a really big one and a costly one. It cost Pekka a year of his career. He did not play an entire year, and it would have helped the Sabres. They wound up actually losing. That was the year, I believe, that was the year they lost in Game 7 on Darius Kasparaitis beating Dominic Hasek in Hasek's last game in Buffalo in Game 7 in overtime. The point is, like, people generally, now some people side with Pekka, I guess, because the way that thing went down, but you generally didn't get a lot of that. It was mostly always, hey, the fans would side with the organizations. It's not the case anymore. So many more people side with the players. Look what's going on in college. You still have your people who say, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're getting free educations. Yes, you have people that say that, but so many more people are like, no, pay these guys. Pay these girls, pay these kids, pay these athletes. They're bringing in so much revenue to their colleges. And you also get, no, you need to pay. Go get your bag, man. Go get it, James Cook. Go get it, Myles Garrett. Go get it, whoever. Like, that's what you get a lot more of. But I still think in Buffalo, from what I'm seeing from a lot of you, it's kind of actually shook me a little bit that we've had some calls, I've had some tweets, some calls over the last like 48 hours of people going like, he doesn't want to be here, trade him. Draft a running back. I think people are not liking the approach, right? That's what it is. I think if James Cook wants $15 million, that's what he wants, right? Maybe he wants 12 and he's putting it at 15. If James Cook wants $15 million a year, and his approach, though, is, hey, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm going to talk with Brandon Bean at the Combine, or my agent is, and we never hear any of that. And then all of a sudden it comes out later that, hey, he wanted that money. I think the reaction is different. Because he's being public about it, I think in a lot of ways he's hurting himself with the fan base. I'm not saying people don't like James Cook, don't want James Cook. I think this is so new and it's not playing well in Buffalo. And I want to know if that's true from you. It's not just about the money, right? Like, there's two parts to this. It's the money and is he worth it? And do you pay a running back? That's where I'm focused. Like, how do you do this mechanically? How do you build the roster? I like the whole thing about roster building and playing GM. Like, there's two parts to this, I think, now with the James Cook story. The first part, to me, is the more important part. How do you manage this, have this really nice player at a position that you have kind of treated like you don't need to pay that much, but now he comes along and you know how important he is to you? That's a lot of money. By the way, call me up on this, 803-0550. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I have open phone lines. We're going to talk about this and whatever else you want here for the next, 40 minutes, because I don't have a guest until 11 o'clock. I'll tell you my guests in a second. I got rambling on this, which is great, but also didn't even tell you who my guests are. I'm going to do that in a minute because we got a couple really good guests to talk about other teams and their situations coming up as well. But 803-0550. Like, the two parts of this are the money aspect, the roster building aspect. But I think I'm reading from some of you and hearing from some of you that, like, you don't like the approach. And that's also maybe seeping into your thought about what they should do, right? I try not to let that happen because, again, I'm going to go back to what I started with at the very beginning of this. I think you have to understand this is just how a lot of people operate now. This is how a lot of athletes operate now. This is how they communicate. They grew up in a world that a lot of us, me and you, did not grow up in where we didn't communicate through our social media handles. And social media is great to me. I mean, listen, I'm patting myself here and I'm telling you, like, I'm very proud of the brand that I built and the following I built, and I have close to 200,000 followers on X. It's a great way for me to communicate. I am not banging on it whatsoever. It is a great way to communicate. But it's not how I grew up communicating everything, all my thoughts. That is how a lot of people now grew up communicating most of their thoughts. And for right or wrong, whatever you think about that, that's what athletes are doing now. And I think that the approach that James Cook is taking here, I think, is hurting himself and his own fan base in a lot of ways. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm just hearing a lot of people and seeing a lot of people going, screw him. You know, he wants to do this. You know, he's not worth it. And that might simply be because of the approach, not just because you don't think he's actually worth $15 million. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Aiden in Orchard Park first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Give me 1 second. Hold on. I am going to pull you up here, Aiden. I have to restart my computer. Why don't you do it for me, Josh, and I'll have him for you. There you go. Go ahead, Aiden.
Hey, Sal. I love James Cook. I think he's been great for the Bills, but just kind of looking at how the Bills are built with a great O-line and Josh Allen, seeing Saquon's deal too, I think I could kind of pass at $15 million a year. I think you can draft running backs like that too. Kind of just my thoughts. Love to hear you say thanks.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you on the money, right? Like, I'm not about paying James Cook $15 million a year. I think that's a lot of money. I think it's too much money for that position. The franchise tag this year, if you were to franchise tag a running back this year, it's going to be about $13 million. I mean, if you wait a year, that number is probably $15 million. So wait a year and do it. If he blows up again, if he has another amazing season, wait a year and do it. I don't see the rush. Let's go to Brian in Hawaii. Brian, what's up, man? Aloha.
Oh, hey, Sal. Aloha. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's the way he went about doing it that I think is causing the public dissent. I think you were spot on. The combine, the agent, behind-the-scenes type thing. But I remember, I don't know if it was last year or earlier this year, where his brother got on and said, pay the man. And I think, you know, I don't think Brandon Bean plays that public, you know, go public with your grievances. I think right. That has a lot to do with it. But I agree with the previous caller. It's the offensive line. Give James Cook $15 million, but then he gives $1 million each to the offensive linemen. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for giving a call very early over there in Hawaii. What are they, like 8 hours behind? 3, 4, 5. I think 5. It's like 5:30 in the morning over there. So thanks for excuse me, giving a call, Brian. Yeah, I agree with you. Brandon Bean does not, that's not how he likes to operate. I don't think it'd be one thing. I'm gonna say he's not happy about it, right? I don't want to speak for Brandon Bean, but I'm sure like he's seeing this going, okay, come on, like I'd rather have this behind closed doors because he says that to us all the time. He says I don't negotiate through the media. Let's go to Harry in Canada. By the way, we're back on in Canada on the AM and PM shows if you watch through YouTube. This show is not on YouTube. People have asked me why. We just haven't done that yet through Odyssey. Maybe down the road we will, but if you're in Canada and you haven't been able to listen to us through the app, you can do it now on YouTube on the AM show and the PM show. Jeremy and Joe show up in the Bulldog, but Harry's in Canada and he wants to talk. What's up, buddy?
Hey, love you, Sal. Look, a couple things. First of all, I think James Cook's being... his brother has to do something with what's going on. Cause this kid has been overall very quiet. It doesn't speak a lot in the interviews, et cetera. So for him to start making his, I won't say demands, but his comments on social media, it's got to be coming from Dalvin, number one. Number two, I don't want my ticket prices. I mean, they're already going to be going up. So the more we negotiate and we know about it, it just makes us as season ticket holders get upset because our ticket prices, our ticket costs are going to go up. So I don't like that. Is he worth 15? Probably not, but he's, you know, he's 12. But just yeah. keep it out of social media. That's the part I don't like.
Yeah, I think that's it, Harry. That's what I think it is. I get this from a few people here. I want to read you a couple things here. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans, and it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online, northtownkia.com. First one, this is from Mayor Jeff. Mayor Jeff, he actually sent me a DM and said, Jordan Poyer wiped his Bills photos before re-signing a year later. Thank you. But he also became a free agent. There's the difference, though, right? Like, Jordan Poyer was actually a free agent on the market. James Cook is a Bills player under contract for another year, but thank you. I appreciate that. Excuse me. Still trying to just kind of get over that last hurdle of as sick as I was last week, but we're doing pretty well. Nick says, Cook is going to have to decide what he wants more, a championship or the money. Why does he have to decide that? I'm not really sure. Do you mean he can't get paid and win a championship in Buffalo? They're still right there knocking on the door for a... Who has been overpaid when re-signing his own draft picks, asked Colton. I think people would say Dawson Knox has a contract that the Bills is overpaid. Whether you agree or disagree, I think that's one. Who else? Who has he re-signed? Who has he overpaid to re-sign? I'll have to go through. I'm sure there might be one or two that you could come up with, you think about, but I think that has been, I think that's probably one of them. I don't know. What did Reggie Gilliam get a couple of years ago? He kind of re-signed. Tyler Bass re-signed a contract a couple of years ago that people think that is. So there's your answer, Colton. I mean, I could probably go through a couple, maybe others through the years, but I think people would give you those answers. Let's take a timeout here. I got a lot of people on hold. We're going to get to you in the next timeout, after the next timeout, because we don't have any guests coming up until 11 o'clock. And then when we do, all right, check this out. Pete Sweeney is going to join me. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we ask what it's like in Kansas City, life is like after losing the Super Bowl, and what the 2025 outlook holds, especially in the offseason, Travis Kelce and that. Pete Sweeney at 11 a.m., and then Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals at 11:30. They got another player who now wants out of Cincinnati and requested a trade. Another player that in the AFC North who plays defense, like Myles Garrett, requesting a trade, but now going hand in hand with other players in Cincinnati who have contractual issues who may be on their way out. That's the best way I wanted to say it. We'll take a timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
That's James Cook's older brother, Dalvin Cook, good running back in the league for quite a few years, attended some of the Bills games this year, saw him on the sidelines before a couple of games, and he's been his brother's number one proponent in all of this, right? He's the one that tweeted out the 20 mil, and you hear him right there talking about, you know, locking him up. Sal Capaccio with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I want to read another tweet that came my way because this is the other perspective. I really like this. This is the fascinating part to me. This is living the dream on Twitter. I'm not going to read it. All right. Living the Dream says, the approach doesn't bother me at all. I think it's more the position he plays when I say just trade him. He's a damn good running back, too. There you go. He's like, I don't care about what approach he's taking. I'm not paying him that. I want to trade him. I just think it's fascinating. You have so much. He doesn't even care about the approach. I think, though, that is seeping into a lot of people. This is what's the fascinating part to me. There's the, is he worth it part? And then it's the, well, he's going about it this way, so what do I think about that? And is that impacting if you think he's worth it, actually? David in Tonawanda is up next. What do you think, David?
All right, Jenna. Thank you, Sal. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Spoke yesterday with one of the gentlemen yesterday. I honestly think, okay, he's asking for 15. Now you got his brother basically in his ear. Like, okay, I think you're worth 20. If anything, going into this, now this is going to be your first contract after your rookie contract. You played phenomenal for us. Your stats are going up. You're looking great for us. But at the same exact time, I can see, okay, you want 15. We'll give you half of what you're looking for, and then see exactly how the next couple years basically look on how you're on how you're progressing. After a couple years, okay, maybe go ahead and lock him up, seal up.
Why would he go for that, though? Why would he agree to that? He doesn't have to sign that.
For what?
You know what I mean? Your approach is we'll give you half. No, that's it. You're saying, well, okay, we'll give you half. Well, he doesn't have to agree to that. He could say, no, I'll just play out my last year and become a free agent.
Right. But at the same exact time, if he doesn't want to leave here, it's like, okay,
right,
we'll just play it
out. Of course.
If he doesn't want to leave, just play it out and then see exactly in a couple of years exactly where – are they going to give him what he basically deserves? Like,
if he plays it out, he'll be a free agent and someone will pay him more than the Bills. And then he'll go. You can't just say, hey, we're going to give you this and you're taking it. Like, the player has some control here, too. The Bills have more control. They have way more leverage. They could franchise tag him. Thanks for the call, David. Andrew in Lockport, what do you think, Andrew?
Hey, Sal, first time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I just think from a younger fan's point of view, social media is the new age, as you were saying. It's got to be kind of an attention grab. I mean, anyone in that position, you got to maximize your profits for yourself. So I think he's just trying to maximize his profits and get the full value that he thinks he's worth. And I really just think it's basically a social media grab and that people are kind of overreacting.
As I said earlier, and I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Like, I don't care if players express themselves in social media. It is the form of doing it. And when you say attention grabbing, it is partly like that. There's no doubt. But I think because this is how people communicate, we have to kind of take them, you know, seriously in a lot of these realms, right? That's what's the tricky part for me, Andrew, right? You never know what is like to be. How to take it seriously, or if it's just something to put out there and it's, as you say, kind of attention. I don't know how I want to say it, like, you know, negotiating tactic, right? Almost like that, like put this certain number out there. Anyway, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening. Don't be a stranger. Who is this person who, I just want to read this report. Contributor at NBC Sports Edge. Kevin Collard. I don't know if this person has any actual like relevance and legitimacy, but I will just, since it's, they have the NBC and NBC Sports Edge in their bio, maybe says, per source, the Commanders, Lions, Bucks, and Bills have all called the Browns about the availability of Myles Garrett and were all told no. It was also revealed that Andrew Berry, Browns GM, audibly chuckled at one of the trade offers. Okay. Well, whatever, it could be anything, but Commanders, Lions, Bucks, and Bills. It does make sense, those four teams, but I mean, I would actually think many more teams would have called about Myles Garrett, but that is what this person, Kevin Collard, tweeted. And again, I have no idea if he's legitimate. I do know my buddy Ryan Burr is legitimate. So Ryan Burr and I went to Syracuse together and we did a little bit of college radio together. I've actually had him on the radio station here, but it's been quite a while. He went on. He's had a really great career in media, and he worked in different markets. I think it was in Houston, maybe. I have to remember for sure. But now he's been lately mostly at the Golf Channel, and he went to the Golf Channel, I should say. Now he's working for the Big Ten Network doing some college basketball. And the reason I tell you this in the background, he's legitimate. And he tweeted earlier today something very interesting. He said, the Steelers have made inquiries to the Jags about a trade for QB Trevor Lawrence. This is directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization. This is crazy that he wrote that. It's kind of funny. I also think Ryan might have grew up a Steelers fan, if I remember right. But either way, so maybe he's also kind of like poking around in that. I think he lives down in Florida. He said they would be, what was the other part of this? He said they would deal. This was oddly specific. Ryan wrote, Ryan Burr, at Ryan Burr, by the way, 2 R's on Twitter. Steelers would deal this year's number one and number two. But with draft in Pittsburgh next year, I'd be very surprised if next year's number one is even on the table. That would be interesting. We're not giving you our number one because the draft is here. I get that from a PR standpoint. But if that's something you want to do to make a deal happen, you almost have to kind of do it, right? But that's what he tweeted. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me. New regime. New coaching staff. Who knows if Liam Cohen wants to work with Trevor Lawrence and thinks he can. And, you know, they just gave him a big contract. They don't even have a GM yet, though. Who are you calling over there? Calling the owner? They don't even have a GM. Let's go to Tim in South Carolina. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to chime in about the James Cook thing. I think you hit the nail on the head when you opened up the show. I don't think it's twofold, right? It's the money that people don't view. I think that $15 million is a lot per year for a running back. I think they could structure it in a way that might look like that fat number, but also make sense for the team. So I think there is a deal that could get done. But I don't know. I'm 31 years old and just going about his way of scrubbing the social media and doing all that stuff. I don't think that that's the way that it should be done. I know that it's kind of a new way and age, but I don't want to sound like the old guy in the room because I'm not. But
yeah,
just,
I know.
So it kind of rubs me and other fans, obviously, in the wrong way. But on the flip side of that, I really like where the Bills are at position-wise because I think that they have, like you said, they have all the leverage here. And if not for nothing, but James Cook, his trade value might not ever be higher than it is right now. And he's now letting teams know that what he's kind of expecting. So I think the Bills, kind of like the Myles Garrett situation, might be fielding some calls from some teams who wouldn't have called before this all came out. I don't know.
Interesting.
I think the Brandon Bean does what he normally does, which is, hey, here's our value for you. If you think that you can kind of get it on the open market, like, you know, do your thing. So just want to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good call, Tim. And I think, Tim, I'll even back up what you said a little bit with, I think it hits different in Buffalo when, you know, this is a different, we're a different city here, right? Than a lot of these other bigger markets. Buffalo's one of, if not the smallest market in the NFL, right? Whatever it is, first market, second smallest, you know, behind Green Bay, I guess. When you have a player who goes about it this way, I think there's always fan bases and fans in every fan base. It's like, I don't really like it. I think here it speaks even louder to, in a negative way, to the fan base here. Because it's like, look, like, we are so insulated. We love you. You give us a love back. And you're always supposed to have this incredible, loving relationship back and forth. And when you see a player scrubbing and not having, I don't want to, it's almost like the player's disassociating himself from the fan base. And he doesn't have to be doing that. But I think that's the perception from people, right? And that doesn't work here. Even more so than it doesn't work in a lot of places. Right. So that's why I think you're right, Tim. And I'll bring it back on here. But you know what I mean? Right. I think Buffalo's different from there. And it hurts and it hits different here. And people are quicker to say, no, you don't want to be a part of me, then we don't want you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too tight of a community. I mean, I was Syracuse born and raised before I moved down here because I like to golf 9 months out of the year. But no, I think you hit the nail on the head, the community and the players. I mean, you even see, you know, what Josh Allen does with the Children's Hospital and the videos that come out with him MVP, it's definitely different here. You know, if you want to make all that money and you know, chase the bag, you know, you can do it at other organizations. But the moment you start kind of doing all this tic-tac back and forth and stuff like that, you're going to kind of lose the fan base. And, the Bills are above having to keep the marquee name player guys. I mean, you got 17. Let's let the chips fall where they may and let's roll.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Great phone call. Enjoy your golf down there, by the way. All right. We're going to take a timeout now. We'll come back here, and when we do, we'll have a little bit more on this. Yeah, you know what? I also want to give some love to something he just brought up and some of the videos going around. There was that one with Slick Rick. If you haven't seen it, just want to touch on that and what a great job that was. We come back here on WGR. But a lot more of your phone calls on the way. When we get to the top of the hour, Pete Sweeney's going to join me. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. What's their offseason outlook look like? Got a lot more to get to here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh just told me today is World Radio Day. What does that mean? Do I have to like give my radio a like some sort of present or something? The finder? Do you even have a radio in your house anymore? Like an actual radio?
The closest thing I have is a smart speaker or just a regular speaker that I play.
So the answer is no.
No, yeah. Oh, wait. No. I have a record player, but that's not a radio.
Ooh, yeah. That's good. You don't have anything, though, that has an actual radio dial on it in your house?
I do at my parents' house, just not at my apartment. It's an old Coca-Cola radio. It looks like a Coca-Cola cooler, but you open it up and it's got like a cassette tape player in there. It's got a radio dial. It's the coolest thing ever. I don't know if it still works. It's been sitting in my parents' basement for like 15 years, but
I don't think I do, but I could look. I'm kind of a hoarder and a saver in a lot of ways. And I mean, over the years, I'll throw things out, but I might have like an old Walkman laying around, actually. You know what a Walkman is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, those are cool. I've always wanted to get one of those because I like collecting old nostalgic things. Yeah. Like, I think those are cool.
Yeah, I might have something like that. But yeah, an actual old radio. We do have like one for Christmas. You turn it on, but it's literally got the same station, which is you can listen to Santa here or Christmas music over here. It's not a real radio, but it looks like it. It's set up like a real radio, but you turn it on, it's all Christmassy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So something like that. It's National Radio Day. It's also, I believe, the 45th anniversary of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Lake Placid. It is amazing that Lake Placid, New York, held the Olympics. Think about that for a second. Lake Placid, New York, held the Olympics.
Yeah, it's the February 13th is when they opened in 1980.
I saw it because the 1980 Miracle Hockey Team Twitter account tweeted it out. And I have a great picture. Go check it out. 1980 Miracle Team on Twitter says, on this date 45 years ago, we participated in the opening ceremonies of the 13th Winter Olympics in Lake Placid. Such an incredible memory to kick off the Olympics. The picture is awesome, by the way. Look at the picture with the Adirondack Mountains, the confetti, and the athletes. It looks amazing. That's a great picture. It's Lake Placid, New York. It's not New York City. It's not LA. It's not even Buffalo. It's Lake Placid. It's unbelievable. So I've never been there. I've always said I wanted to go there. Bulldog has been there many times. He's talked about how great it is. You can go there now and see where they did the ski jumping and they played hockey and all the different things. They did like speed skating in the middle of the downtown area, basically, which downtown is like, I don't know, like Hamburg Village or something. I'm not trying to be like, 'cause that's how small it is as a city. And they did, they had the Olympics there. It's unbelievable. Today was 45 years ago today that they had the opening ceremonies. And of course, we know what happened just a few weeks later, the Miracle on Ice and the United States beating the Russians.
Now tonight, U.S. plays Finland in the
Four
Nations face-off.
Oh, and by the way, that's who they had to actually win to win the gold medal. Beat them.
Did you know the story?
They didn't beat Russia to win the gold.
Right, but Joe actually explained this morning there was a format in that Olympics alone where if the U.S. lost that game, there was a chance that Russia could still win the gold, even though they had lost to the U.S. Hmm. It was some weird format. Instead of a playoff, it was more so a point system. Where the team with the most points won the gold medal, and then so on and so forth down the line. So just because they lost, Finland doesn't win the silver. They actually placed fourth. They didn't even win a medal, which is just wild to me. Like, I had no idea that's what it was like. And
I do know if they lost, they might not have won a medal at all, right? The United States in that game?
Right, yeah.
But even though it was the gold medal game, essentially, that's right. But that's, so very interesting. Much different. And then last night we got a great hockey game. What a great overtime that was between Canada and Sweden. And obviously, Canada wins it in the end in overtime. Crosby's amazing in international play. He gets the player of the game. They still do a player of the game in all these international competitions. Before we get to Pete Sweeney, I said I wanted to talk about this. I'm just going to mention it. Matt Bove and I did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Check it out. We talk a lot about the James Cook situation, all right? It's available wherever you pod, iTunes, download it, Spotify, WGR, you know, Odyssey app, whatever. You can also go to YouTube, go to the Sal Sports YouTube page. You can watch it right there. But the first few minutes is me asking Matt and then Matt describing his interview with Slick Rick from the mailroom. It's amazing. What an interview. If you haven't seen it, it moved me. I'm emotional watching the interview with Slick Rick. He's emotional. It's just awesome. And Matt goes through the story about interviewing Slick Rick and what it was like. So go check it out. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We got that. We got the James Cook situation. We got the special team situation with the new special teams coach coming in. We talked all about it. Up next, though, going to be joined by Pete Sweeney. He actually covers the Kansas City Chiefs. They have lost the Super Bowl. We know that. And now they have a lot of decisions to make and maybe some decisions that their players have to make, including Travis Kelce. What does the 2025 offseason hold for the Kansas City Chiefs? Up next here on WGR.